Good morning, and welcome to another in our series of mini shiurim on the Book of Yehoshua. We are learning in the merit of the IDF, Israel's emergency services, the hostages, and the injured. And we are in Yehoshua Perek Chaf Beis, chapter 22. The distribution of the land is now over, and Reuven, Gad, Menashe are heading east of the Yarden to rejoin their families. And we said yesterday that the atmosphere is really one of celebration. They did what they were supposed to do. They honored the terms of their agreement with Moshe and their agreement with Yehoshua. The agreement with Moshe to fight ahead of everybody else in Canaan, and the agreement with Yehoshua to remain through the division of the land as well. So they did what they were supposed to do, and Yehoshua says to them, Lechu lachem, a plural version of lach lacha. Go, even though they're crossing the Yarden east, nonetheless, he's honoring them with what Hashem said to Abraham and Sarah when they went to the land of Eretz Yisrael in the first place. So Yehoshua sends them home. But there's some very odd wording when he sends them home. It seems like they're being sent twice. In chapter 22, sentence 6, Chav Beis Vav, Vayivarachem Yehoshua, Yehoshua blessed them, Vayishalachem, and he sent them, Vayelachu and Elohalehem, and they went to their tents. Then it tells us in Pasuk Zion in sentence 7 that V'lachatzi shevet ha-Menashe, for part of Menashe, Nasan Moshe ba-Bashan. Moshe gave them land east of the Yarden in the Bashan area, right? The area up north. U'lachatzi ha-Nasan Yehoshua ma'chehem me'eber ha-Yarden yama. And for the rest of them, Yehoshua gave them land west of the Yarden, as we know. V'gam ki shilucham Yehoshua el ohalehem v'yivarechem. And also that Yehoshua sent them to their tents, and he blessed them. Unclear what that phrase means. We're going to come back to it. But he blesses them, saying in sentence 8, Vayomer alehem lemor, he said to them, Benachasim rabim shuvu el ohalehem, go back to your tents with a lot of wealth. Uv mikne rav meod bekesev, who was a hub, benachoshes, who was barzel, who was salamos, harbe meod, with a lot of cattle, with silver, gold, copper, iron. Lots of clothing. Chilku shalal oivechem machechem. Divide up the spoils of your enemies with your brethren. And then it says, Vayashuvu vayelchu b'nei Reuven u'b'nei Gad v'chatzi shevet ha-Menashe me'eis b'nei Yisrael mishilo asher be'eretz Kenan. That Reuven, Gad, and part of Menashe left the rest of the Jews in Shiloh that's in Kenan. We've been using that term, Shiloh that is in Kenan. L'aleches el Eretz ha-Gilad, to go to Gilad, to their portion, asher el Eretz ha-Chuzasam, asher nocha zupa, api Hashem b'yad Moshe, to their portion they had taken at Hashem's word in the hand of Moshe. So in sentence 6, it said he sent them and they went to their tents. And then in sentence 9, it says that, again, they went to their land. So how do we understand this? Are they going once? Are they going twice? The passage is odd. So Professor Keel in the Dot Mikra offers two straightforward reads. Either to say that the first time in sentence 6, it means they prepared to go. Or alternatively, they're going at this point in sentence 6. Then sentences 7 and 8 interrupt to record Yehoshua's bracha, his blessing about the spoils. And then, so it says in sentence 9, we're going back to where we were. They're now going back to their families. But really, it's all one unit, it's all one story, they're not going twice. That's the way Professor Keel deals with it. The Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah offers us a different take, two different takes, actually, for what happened. It tells the story of Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yudan Hager, who were going to study Torah, learning from Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. This is Bereishis Rabbah, Lamed Hei Gimel, for those who want to look it up. But they had been learning Torah with him, and Natlu him and a Rishus. They then asked him for permission to go home. V'himtinu sham od yom echad. And then they stayed another day. After having asked him if we can go, he said yes. Then they stayed another day anyway. And then they asked each other, Tzvichem anu litol mimenu Rishus pam shenis? Do we need to ask for permission again? So one of them said, well, look at this story in Yehoshua, where it looks like they get sent home twice. So he says that what happened was they asked Yehoshua for permission to go home. Then they waited longer. So therefore, they asked a second time. That's one approach in the Medrash, is that it's their own fault, effectively, that they ended up having this recorded twice. It's because they waited. They didn't go right away. And then you get an alternative version in the same medrash, in which Rabbi Yudin, the ger, who was part of this conversation, one of the students of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, he says, no. The problem was that Reuven, God, he doesn't mention Menashe, but let's assume that they're part of this conversation also. They went with Yehoshua to the Yarden to cross. Then Yehoshua turns around to go back home, and they realize we were part of Yehoshua's entourage. Now, Yehoshua is turning around to go home. He has way fewer people with him. It's not really appropriate that he goes home with such a small crowd. So therefore, they left the Yarden. They went back to Yehoshua's home with him, saw him to his house, and then they went east again. That was the idea. That's why they're recorded as going twice. But in any case, that's just, you know, in terms of recording this twice. Let's ask a bigger question, though. Sentence 7, right, after Yehoshua sends them and they're going to their tent, sentence 7 says, Menashe gets land east of the Yarden. Menashe gets land from Yehoshua west of the Yarden. And also, Yehoshua sent them to their tents, and he blessed them, saying, you've got a lot of wealth and all of that, go divide it up with your brethren. Was he giving that last bracha and speech just to Menashe? Because they're the ones who are the antecedent. They're the ones who were mentioned right here. Menashe got land here, Menashe got land there. And also, Yehoshua sent them to their tents, and he gave them this blessing. It sounds like it's just Menashe. Or is that latter part, he sent them to their tents again, blessing and all that, is that referring to the Jews as a whole, not just a whole, Reuven, Gad, as well as Menashe? So according to the Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah that we just read, that it was actually Reuven and Gad along with Menashe who went twice, it's reasonable to say that this bracha was for everybody. It wasn't special treatment for Menashe. And in fact, when he says to them, you're getting mikne rav me'od, right? That actually fits really well, because originally, the very beginning of the text when Reuven and Gad approached Moshe and said, we want to stay east of the Yarden, it said, u'mikne rav, haya livne Reuven v'livne Gad. It said they had a lot of mikne, they had a lot of cattle. Now it says, look, you have mikne rav me'od. You have increased. It fits with the whole celebration theme. You followed the agreement, even to your own apparent detriment, and therefore your wealth has increased, right? Like the idea of the when the Torah describes miser, tithing, it says aser to aser, which we understand to refer to Maaser Rishon and Maaser Ani. You tithe and then you tithe again. But the Medrash says, Aser to Aser, Aser Bishvil Shetit Asher, or Shetit Aser. You could actually read that Medrash either way. Tithe so that you will be tithed again, or tithe so that you will become wealthy. The idea that when a person gives tzedakah, when a person fulfills this tithing obligation honorably and properly, then they will become wealthier, they will merit to be tithed repeatedly. So the point is simply, you think you're losing something and you're actually gaining something. So to here, you gave of yourselves for 14 years, but look, now where you had Mikne Rav, now you have Mikne Rav Me'od, and it's everybody who is receiving this. It's a big celebration. Everybody is happy. That's one way to read what's going on here. Other way to read what's going on here is that this bracha is specifically for the group within Menashe that is going east of the Yarden, the ones we just mentioned in the text, that they are that they're getting land east of the Yarden. Why single them out with this bracha? So the Malbim says, because they needed wealth. They were the ones who did not have the Mikne Rav, all of that cattle that had caused Reuven and Gad to request the land in the first place. So therefore, Yehoshua is saying, look, now you're getting all of these spoils. That's one way to take it. Alternatively, Professor Keel suggests that because this Menashe group, were not part of the original request for land east of the Yarden, they didn't give up their share in the spoils on the western side of the Yarden. In other words, what Professor Keel is suggesting is that Reuven and Gad aren't entitled to a share of the spoils west of the Yarden, but Menashe is, and therefore they uniquely are getting a share here. That's very interesting. And then a third approach that you could take is, remember we said that there were various explanations for why Menashe is split at all. Why is Menashe taking land east of the Yarden when they didn't request it? So one view that we suggested from the Netziv is that Menashe includes mechokekim. It includes lawgivers, right? Based on a pasuk that describes descendants of Menashe of Machir as mechokekim. So they were lawgivers, and the Netziv said they were sent east of the Yarden to provide Torah there. Alternatively, Abarbanel says they were sent there to provide physical protection because they were great warriors in Menashe, and you needed them in this border territory east of the Yarden. Ramban says that the land there is just too large for Reuven and Gad, and they're sent to bolster the numbers. In any of those reads, whatever it is that they are providing, they're giving of themselves. So this is a reward, effectively, for going east. Look, we're giving you extra spoils. The Netziv had actually suggested that that's why Menashe gets a large chunk of land up in the Bashan to compensate for going. So maybe that's what this is as well. That's why they're getting so much. Now, it says that they're supposed to split the proceeds with Acheichem, with your brethren. So if this is Yehoshua talking just to the half of Menashe who are going back east, so then split it with your brethren may mean, and this is what Rashi says, Radak brings it, split the profits with Reuven and Gad. Even though I'm giving this to you, Menashe, you should really split it with Reuven and Gad. That's one way to take it. Alternative approach found in Radak is that all of them are receiving this, and it means split your profits with those who are staying in Canaan. Don't take it all back home. But then one more approach, which is found in Rashi. If the recipients really are all of them, Reuven, Gad, and Menashe, what Yehoshua is saying is split this with those who stayed in the east to guard the families back home. And that fits with what Malbim says, because Malbim notes that back in chapter 4, sentence 13, we said that 40,000 men of military age came from Reuven, Gad, and Menashe to cross the Yarden into Israel. But that's less than one-third of those who were counted in the census in Parshas Pinchas. So what that means is you have another 80,000 or so who stayed east of the Yarden, who were there to protect everybody living there. So split the proceeds with them. That's Rashi, that's Malbim. It also fits with an idea we find elsewhere in Tanakh. Most prominently at the end of Shmuel Aleph, when David HaMelech, after the war with Amalek had taken the city of Ziklag, where David lived, where the families of David's men were. David fights a war against them, recaptures everybody, brings everybody home, and he also gets spoils, which he divides up with those who did not go to the battle, who were guarding the Kalim. There's a lot to talk about in that story, but he divides it up with everybody, including those who did not go to fight. We also find this idea regarding the spoils of the war the Jews fight against Midian at the end of the book of Bamidbar. It's also associated by some commentators at the end of Shmuel, some associate it with Avraham giving spoils from Sodom, from the war of the four and five kings to Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre. Some suggest they didn't go fight, they were guarding Avraham's property, and therefore he gave them wealth as well. I'm rushing a little bit because I'm looking at the time and realizing we're running out of time. But the point is that this idea that what he's doing is giving, Yehoshua is doing is giving spoils to Reuven, Gad, Menashe, and saying, give it to those who did not come fight across the Yarden. They guarded everybody back home. You should split this with them. That idea is an idea found elsewhere in Tanakh. Last note, I mentioned this way, way back. Was it really the same 40,000 who were stuck there for 14 years? There was no platooning? So the answer seems to be that they did not platoon. Malbim in Perek Aleph in chapter 1 says they sent the strongest, which inclines us to think they did not platoon. And there's a Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, Tzariches Tezvav, for those who want to look it up, that says explicitly they were gone for 14 years without returning at all during that time. What we'll see next is what happens when they go, creating a major crisis among the Jewish people.